safety, load centered road balance, greater safety, powerful brakes, greater safety. See your Kaiser Fraser dealer today.
And now, Robert Trout with the news, direct from the NBC newsroom in New York, presented by Pillsbury. It's time to serve holiday pies. Homemade pies baked with Pillsbury pie crust mix. Your grocer has all the makings for wonderful cranberry, mince, and pumpkin pie. And they're so easy to make, so quick and easy, when you use Pillsbury pie crust mix. You can fix your pie shell while the oven heats. Just add water to Pillsbury pie crust mix, and you're certain to make light, tender pie crust. The flaky kind that cuts at the touch of a fork. Get several packages of Pillsbury pie crust mix soon. And now, Bob Trout with the latest news.
Berlin went to the polls today. The Russians prevented the Germans from voting in the Soviet sector, but in the western part of Berlin, 1.5 million, maybe more, Germans marched to the polls to elect a new city assembly and to register their dislike of communism. Everything the Russians could do to break up a free and fair election, they did. But half an hour before the polls closed, 89% of the eligible voters had cast their votes in defiance of Russian threats. There was an election in Spain, too, where the Spanish voters are choosing municipal officials on the installment plan, going to the polls every Sunday for 3 weekends. And in Argentina, the voters are selecting delegates to an assembly that's supposed to amend the Argentine Constitution to let President Perón succeed himself for at least one more term. This is Constitution Day in Russia, the 12th anniversary of Joseph Stalin's constitution, described by the communist newspaper Pravda today as the great program of the struggle for toilers in all capitalist countries. Pravda says communism is invincible and the capitalist century is approaching an end. But the capitalist countries still have some life left. The United States, Great Britain, and France have handed the United Nations Security Council a vigorous protest against Russia's actions in Berlin. The Western nations say there's no hope of agreement unless the Russians get rid of their puppet regime in eastern Berlin and stop interfering with the rest of the city. Argentine Foreign Minister Juan Bramulla, last month's Security Council president, who tried so hard to end the Berlin deadlock, is now in Rome, where he was congratulated today by Pope Pius. The United Nations Assembly is getting ready to end its session in Paris, despite Great Britain's objections that the work is by no means finished. Now the steering committee recommends that the Assembly start in again in New York in January or February. But the problems of the nations go on. UN mediator Ralph Bunche has arrived in Transjordan to discuss the Holy Land problem with King Abdullah, and Greek troops are pushing through the snow that clings to the mountainsides, fighting small actions with the guerrillas. It's large-scale war in China. There, the latest reports say, both sides are throwing in their reserves in the bitter fight for the rail center of Beng Pu, 100 miles northwest of Nanking, and the last government strong point in the way of the communist drive on the capital. Madam Chiang Kai-shek is still waiting to see the president in Washington, and White House Secretary Charles Ross now says the meeting will take place probably early this coming week. Mr. Ross made his statement as President Truman arrived back in Washington aboard the yacht Williamsburg after a day in Norfolk, Virginia, honoring the battleship Missouri. Representative Richard Nixon was peacefully cruising the Caribbean this morning south of Jamaica, bound for Panama, when he was taken off his ship by a Coast Guard plane and rushed back to Washington for new meetings of the Un-American Activities Committee. The latest word is that sensational new evidence the committee has may be too sensational to reveal in public. And an announcement from the Pacific Air Command, a four-engine transport plane, a troop carrier, is down at sea not far from Johnston Island, that tiny speck of land that rides the immense Pacific like an aircraft carrier. Now for Pillsbury, here's Arthur Gary.
Thank you, Bob Trout. Please pa with pie, your own homemade holiday pie. Pumpkin or mince or cranberry, made light and tender with Pillsbury pie crust mix. Yes, you can be sure the crust you make will be light and tender, the flaky kind, when you use Pillsbury pie crust mix. It's easy to use, it's quick. Remember, too, there are 9 full ounces in each package, plenty to make a big 9-inch two-crust pie. Listen again next Sunday at this time for Robert Trout with the news, brought to you by Pillsbury, greatest name in flour. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ and WMAQ-FM, NBC in Chicago. Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen will journey south of the border on The Charlie McCarthy Show at 7 when Charlie answers an ad in a newspaper and receives 2 tickets to Mexico. Henry Morgan returns to the Fred Allen program as a special guest at 7:30.
You really want me, the Sunday editor, to use our space to advertise the sale of stamps that couple Merry Christmas with a monstrous curse with the world's worst disease?
But what better time than Christmas to carry a message of hope?
Why, it's almost downright sacrilegious. Merry Christmas and tuberculosis. I wouldn't touch that hookup with a 10-foot pole.
Living, 1948, brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliated stations, holds up its radio mirror this pre-holiday period to reflect the need and inspiration that gave birth to the Christmas seal, those small but powerful antidotes to tuberculosis whose use has become an integral part of our American Christmas heritage. We have entitled our drama document,
The Story of the Double-Barred Cross.
Here is your narrator, Ben Grauer. This Christmas, to the four corners of the earth, will go millions of postcards, letters, packages, bearing the emblem that was once the emblem of the Dukes of Lorraine of France, of Godfrey de Bouillon, leader of the First Crusade to the Holy Land, of the 79th Division of the U.S. Army in World War I, of the Free French in World War II.
The Double-Barred Cross.
Yes, the Double-Barred Cross. But today the Double-Barred Cross leads a different kind of crusade. A crusade for good health, against sickness and death, against tuberculosis. And this is the story we bring you now. A story that begins with the late Emily Bissell in the winter of 1907 in Delaware. Emily's sleigh pulls up before an open-air tuberculosis shack near the Brandywine, operated by her cousin, Dr. Joseph Wales. She climbs out, ties her horse, moves on to the building, mounts the steps, stamps her feet to get the snow off her shoes, and enters.
Miss Emily.
Why, Abby, I'm glad to see you. You're looking better every time I do.
Oh, thank you, Miss Emily.
What's that you're working on?
Needlepoint.
Oh, how lovely.
Dr. Wales says it's better for us to keep working on something. He says no harm will come to anybody if I send it out as a Christmas present.
Of course not, Abby. And you're going to be well soon, I know it.
Miss Emily, is it true?
It's what true?
Are they going to have to close the sanitarium, Miss Emily, like I hear?
Oh, now, Abby.
Oh, I know what's going on. They're having money troubles, aren't they?
Abby, I want you to forget all these rumors.
Please, Miss Emily, don't lie to me. I've got no place to go if I have to leave here. No place in the whole world.
This shack is not going to be closed.
No? Who said so?
I said so. Believe me, Abby.
If you say so, Miss Emily, that's good enough for me. You
oh,
never...
there now.
I was afraid.
Oh, don't be.
God bless you, Miss Emily.
Goodbye, Abby. Keep at that needlepoint now.
They're meeting in the office, Miss Emily.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, I don't know what else we can... Oh, well, it's about time you got here, young lady.
Now, Joseph.
Gentlemen, I guess you all know my cousin Emily, Dr. Williams,
yes,
Dr. Hughes.
How do you do?
Whatever kept you so long?
I stopped to order some holly and wreaths to decorate the place for Christmas.
Well, we're going to need a lot more than holly and wreaths if we still expect to be open Christmas.
Then it really is bad as Abby thinks.
Abby? Oh, so the rumor has got around. I was hoping we could keep it from the patients until we... Well, Jess, you're the treasurer. You bring Emily up to date on this, will you?
The hard truth of the matter is, Miss Bissell, we're down to our last dollar.
But I thought... No rent or anything.
It's true Mr. Alfred DuPont has leased us this land for a dollar a year, but there are all sorts of other expenses that must be met.
You mustn't forget, Miss Bissell, that all our patients are charity patients.
To make a long story short, unless we can raise $300 between now and Christmas, we're through.
Through? You mean everything you've worked for, fought for, this whole new way of treating tuberculosis is...
Finished, Emily. You know what that means? It means we'll have to turn out these poor sufferers to die.
Oh, no, Joe.
And to spread death before they die.
But that can't happen. It can't. I won't let it.
Well, that's why we called you, Emily. You belong to all the ladies' aids and whatnot. You've done a lot of fundraising before for good causes.
Now we want you to help us. We know how to fight tuberculosis, Emily. We're sure of that. All we lack is the weapon.
$300 by Christmas.
I'll see every soul I know who has the suspicion of a bank account.
Well, then, I guess that's it, Emily.
Fine. Then the rest is up to me. Well, if I don't see you gentlemen again, Merry Christmas.
What?
Oh, yes.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'm a businessman, Emily. Known all over this country for being a practical businessman.
Yes, I know, Mr. Morrison. That's why I came to you first.
And as a businessman, Emily, I can't see throwing good money after bad.
Oh, what do you mean, sir?
Why waste money on hopelessness? If you've got tuberculosis, you're through, that's all. No amount of spending can make it otherwise.
But, Mr. Morrison...
Now, let's not waste our time talking about it anymore, my dear. May I give you a lift to the square? I promised my wife I'd buy some Christmas candles she wanted, and, well, you know how women are.
A real fine Christmas tree for the orphanage.
Now may I talk to you, Dr. Kludge?
You had no business following me out into these woods in the snow.
But I just had to
it's
talk to
you. It's no use, Emily. If I thought in my heart there was half a chance to lick tuberculosis, I'd give it every penny I had.
But there is, Doctor. The new method that Cousin Joseph...
Calm me, rot. I know, Emily. I've had more experience than your cousin. Tuberculosis is a killer. One out of every nine who die is killed by TB. No wonder people call it the white plague.
But Joseph's experiments are...
Experiments. He thinks he's going to work miracles with fresh air and rest when any doctor with any sense knows the only way to treat the disease is put the patient in a room and close the windows tight.
But Dr. Kludge,
I'm sorry. The answer is still no. Well, no, as long as you're here, might as well help me carry this...
Just in time to help me get started sorting these old magazines.
Oh, dear, we do have to do that, don't we?
Oh, I should hope so. I'd like to have them out of the way by Christmas.
Oh, very well, Mother. As soon as I take my things up.
Well, here, as long as you're going up, take this load of magazines of yours to your room.
Oh, all right, Mother.
Look at this one, for instance. The Outlook for July 6th. July now, and this December.
I was saving that for something. I forget what. Let me see it, Mother.
Well, the sooner we get started, the sooner we'll finish, dear.
Of course, that's what it was.
What on earth are you talking about?
This article by Jacob Reese. Hmm? That's what I was keeping the July outlook for.
Really, Emily?
Oh, you're wonderful to have found this thing for me. Mother, do you remember I told you Cousin Joseph needed $300 or they were going to have to close the tuberculosis shack?
Yes.
Well, in this article, Jacob Reese tells how they raised $20,000 to fight tuberculosis in Denmark by selling Christmas stamps.
Yes.
But don't you see? If they raise money in Denmark selling Christmas stamps, why can't we do it here?
Why... Emily, that's not a bad idea at all. Only...
Oh, yes, I know. We'll sell them here.
Yes.
Well?
The Red Cross.
The Red Cross, yes. Why shouldn't they? They're supposed to give relief in time of pestilence.
And you're the local secretary.
Mother, it looks like the magazines will have to wait.
Oh, Emily, you just got here. Where are you going now?
Where do you think? I'm going to see if I can't sell the Red Cross on selling $300 worth of stamps.
Of course it's a splendid idea, Emily. But you forget that our local chapter has fund limitations. There's nothing put aside in our Red Cross budget for Christmas stamps. I'll tell you what. Why don't you contact the national organization?
In Washington?
Why not? They've got more money than we have.
Oh, Lily, you're a dear. I'll write them right away.
What do they say?
National Red Cross can only help us by letting us use their emblem, the Red Cross. Mother, I want you to make me a small loan.
A loan? What for?
I'm going to Washington.
What? Washington?
In Denmark, the post office sold those stamps. Why can't we get our post office to do it here?
Oh, but Emily...
I'm going to go to Washington and see...
Not Teddy Roosevelt.
No, Mother. The man I'm going to see is the man with stamps, the Postmaster General.
It is absolutely out of the question, Miss Bissell.
But, sir, in Denmark...
Really, Miss Bissell, I don't think you understand. Our task is to sell stamps which help to provide the government with the revenue it needs to operate. I am paid by the people to do nothing else. I am permitted to do nothing else.
But surely,
just
sir, you...
Just consider what is likely to happen if I followed your suggestion. Why, the post office would be virtually entering into competition with itself. And if we sold your stamps, thousands of people all over the country would naturally assume that they could send letters with them. Why, the potential loss of income to the United States...
Mr. Postmaster General.
Yes, Miss Bissell.
If I had the stamps printed myself, would you let us use the lobby of the post office in Wilmington to sell them?
Yeah, that's very irregular. Very irregular.
All we ask is space enough for a small table.
Well, I can't give you anything in writing on it, of course, but I... I think that'll be acceptable. You may report to your local postmaster that you have my permission. But I warn you...
Yes, sir?
No one has ever before succeeded in competing with the United States Postal Department. You will fail, Miss Bissell.
Thank you, sir.
$50,000. That's a mighty lot of stamps, ain't it, Miss Bissell? And if people can buy Christmas stickers in any store, 10 for a penny, why'd they pay you a penny apiece?
Well, to help fight tuberculosis, that's why. If we can sell only $35,000...
Oh, well.
Oh, I knew you'd do it.
Where's the design?
The design?
Yes. You've got to have a design, you know.
Oh, you know, Henry, I've been so busy with all the other business having to do with the stamp... I didn't even think of that.
Well, you better get a design, and you better get some artist to shape it for reproduction. I can't do a thing for you.
Well, I'll go down to the stationer's and buy some crayon and paper right now. I'll find someone. Don't you worry.
I never worry, Miss Emily. It ain't good for the stomach.
But I'm an artist, Emily, an artist. My soul cries for a huge canvas for expression, and you ask me to lend it to a one-inch square gum stamp.
But you'll do it for me, though, won't you?
How can I refuse beauty? All my life I've been a slave to beauty. For you, I shall mix the most beautiful colors in the world.
Well, I'm afraid, Gerald, it'll have to be a one-color job. The printer says a two-color stamp would be too costly.
Money, money, money. All this money. Let me see your design.
I'm not an artist. All I was able to think of was a holly garland centered by a red cross with Merry Christmas below.
Very well. I shall render it in the brightest Christmas red that I can find.
Remember, if any of you volunteers haven't received your stamps or your assignments, please be sure to see me before you go. Well, that's all, and good luck. Well, Emily?
How do I look?
Oh, wonderful, Lily. That was a grand idea of yours to dress up in a nurse's uniform. I only wish the others had them.
Well, as long as people who come into the post office don't come up for first aid instead of stickers.
If they do, sell them stamps while you bandage them.
I'll see you when you make the rounds for the checkup.
Right.
Buy your Christmas stamps here, please. Buy your Christmas stamps here.
Do you want to weigh this package for me, miss? Going to Chicago.
Weigh it?
So I can tell how many stamps to put on it.
Oh, these stamps don't carry any kind of mail.
Don't carry...
No, but any kind of mail will carry them.
Any kind... Look, ma'am, I have no time for riddles. Now, is this a post office or isn't it? All I want to do is to send this package.
But why didn't you tell me you were going to do this, Emily?
You're a doctor, Joseph, not a fundraiser. You wouldn't have understood.
But raising $300 penny by penny, that just doesn't make sense.
Oh, I don't know. Remember, I tried everybody I knew with a bank account with no success. So I thought I'd go after those without a bank account.
How many have you sold?
Well, to date, oh, don't give up.
Oh, my heavens.
We've only been selling them 3 days, you
but
know.
But 50,000 stamps.
We'll save your shack yet. I've got to go now.
But, Emily, Christmas is only...
There's 3 more shopping days to Christmas, I know, and I haven't had a chance to buy a single present yet. Thanks for reminding me.
Miss Emily.
Oh, Abby.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing you're doing for us, Miss Emily. Those stamps are beautiful.
Thank you, Abby. I'm glad you like them.
Oh, even if you don't sell them, I want you to know how much we all appreciate your trying. I guess we'll manage somehow.
But we will sell them, Abby. I'm sure we will.
No, getting around the fact that they're pretty as a picture in the paper, but people
Wait a
just
minute.
Don't...
What's that you said, Abby, about the stamps?
Oh, that's a saying my mother always used to be fond of. Pretty as a picture in the paper. I guess they didn't see many other pictures
Abby,
in those
days. Abby, you precious, you've done it.
Done what, Miss Emily?
You've just shown me how to sell 30,000 stamps.
Want me, the Sunday editor of the Philadelphia North American, to use my space to couple Merry Christmas with a monstrous curse? With the world's worst disease?
But don't you see?
Why, it's almost downright sacrilegious. Not for me, lady. Merry Christmas and tuberculosis. I wouldn't touch that hookup with a 10-foot pole. Sorry.
Good morning, Mr. Hodges. I'm Emily Bissell from Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh, pleasure, Miss Bissell. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. Mr. Hodges, I've read your column, The Optimist, many times. After seeing your Sunday editor, I just felt I had to meet an optimist face to face.
Well, if you've been talking to our Sunday editor, I know how you feel.
Oh, no, I didn't mean...
I know. Anything I can do for you?
I don't think so. I had come to ask a favor of your paper, but maybe I was...
Too much of an optimist, huh? Well, might I ask what the favor was?
Well, it's a long story. I guess you might call it a Christmas story. I have some stamps here that I...
And that's the story?
That's the whole story.
What a story. Miss Bissell, give me those stamps.
Oh, but Mr.
Now, you wait right here. Don't move. I'm going to sell this to the chief. Sold, Miss Bissell. The North American is yours for the holidays. My orders are to drop everything. Give it all the space you need.
Wait,
and send us 50,000 by tomorrow, huh?
Well, that's all we have printed. You don't expect to sell 50,000 stamps.
No, Miss Bissell. But I do expect to sell 50,000 sunshine boomerangs. The Optimist. A little look at the brighter, better side. Good morning. Have you thrown a sunshine boomerang by sending a Christmas stamp? These fine little Merry Christmas stickers, which began selling like hotcakes... Hello?
Hello?
Miss Bissell?
Yes?
Late Hodges, Philadelphia.
Oh, yes, Mr. Hodges.
Good news. The whole darn state's going crazy about your Christmas stamps.
Oh.
Everybody wants to help. Governor, postmaster, civic, religious leaders, everybody. We sold 30,000 in 2 days.
30,000? Well, that alone is enough to...
You'd better print another 100,000 or two.
Oh, heavens.
And look, Miss Bissell, Merry Christmas is going to be deadline before this demand lets up.
Yes?
Add Happy New Year to that design.
Emily, I just think you're ridiculous.
That's all right, Lily. Just move over.
But of course people know what the stamps mean.
Haven't I been sitting here in this post office lobby for 2 weeks now?
I want to see for myself. Well, all right. Here comes your first customer.
Why, Emily Bissell.
Mr. Morton.
Hey, you'll catch your death of cold sitting in this lobby.
But you, of all people.
Here, let me have $5 worth of those stamps of yours.
Oh, Mr. Morrison, I...
Yes, I guess when my wife gets it in her head she wants Christmas stickers, she wants Christmas stickers. It isn't candles, it's something else.
Here you are, Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. Say, don't you catch cold now.
There, Emily. Didn't you tell me he refused to contribute when you asked him just the other day?
Lily, he's only buying them because his wife wants them for stickers.
Oh, Emily, you're a suspicious...
Hello.
Emily.
But Dr. Kludge... What brings you in from the orphanage?
Wanted to pick up some of your little stickers.
Then you do believe that we can...
I believe I'll take $10 worth.
Emily. The children will enjoy putting them on the packages.
But, Dr. Clutch, don't you...
Here you are, Dr. Clutch.
Oh, thank you, miss. Goodbye, Emily.
There. See what I mean?
I don't see a thing. He just wasn't going to admit that he... Now, Emily, I just wish you'd stop looking under the bed for all sorts of false...
Is this where you get the Christmas stamps?
Yes. Yes, this is the place.
Can I buy one? I want to cure that sickness.
Why, yes. Yes, of course.
My sister's got it.
Well, Emily? Yes, Lily. Yes.
Then we're not going to have to leave the shack.
Not until you're well again, Abby.
All because of those stamps.
Yes, Abby. It's just as if all over the state, thousands of people said, Abby, you're going to stay right there at Brandywine and get better. We're going to help you. And we're going to lick tuberculosis.
When you accept this needlepoint from me, Miss Emily, it's all I've got to give to say what it's in my heart.
Why, of course, it's lovely. Thank you, Abby.
Nobody whoever has tuberculosis will ever forget you, Miss Emily, and what you've done. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Abby. And many of them.
This is Ben Grauer again, friends. Coming back in to report that since Emily Bissell first put the Christmas seal to work for tuberculosis, the death rate from that disease has fallen to a little more than one-fifth of what it was in 1907. Yet today, tuberculosis still kills more of our people than any other communicable disease. Fortunately, however, something can be done about it, and you can help to do it. You can assist some unknown sufferer back to good health, as well as help protect yourself from this dread disease, by purchasing this Christmas season the seals that Emily Bissell gave to us. Each stamp you buy, with its double-barred cross, which replaced the Red Cross symbol in 1920, will truly serve as your Christmas symbol of goodwill toward men. Living, 1948... is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Scripts for this series are written by Lou Hazem. Emily Bissell was played by Mitzi Gould. Music is conducted by Milton Katims. Your narrator was Ben Grauer. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by joining us again next week when we present a drama document entitled
The Greatest Christmas Present.
Living, 1948, was directed by Jack Cuney. Remember, the funniest shows in radio are on NBC. Tonight, listen to Ozzie and Harriet, then Phil Harris and Alice Faye, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, and Fred Allen with guest Henry Morgan. For the best time of your life, the best time is tonight on most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ and WMAQ-FM, NBC in Chicago.